Praise the Lord. So, because the Lord is good, it is a good thing for us to always praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's read. I'm going to just read through, you know, Psalm 96 very quickly. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that he shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and his people with his truth. Father, we thank you, Lord. Once again, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and it giveth understanding to the simple. And the lessons of your word are for our examples. So Lord, shine that light in our hearts this morning and give us understanding and cause us to learn from you. And your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome again. And for all of you who are just rising up, grand rising, everybody. And those of you who have already been there a few hours, well, praise the Lord for your day already. Well, let's go through some lessons in the Bible today. You know, Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, that the things that are written in the Bible, even the Old Testament, sometimes we read some of these Old Testament stories, and some people say, well, I don't know about that. Those are just stories. No, they are not just stories. They are there in 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. These things were for our examples, to the intent that, you know, we should, in this case, he said, not lust after evil things, but to the intent that we should learn from the lessons of those people. You know, because all the word of God, the Bible says, all scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration. And it is profitable. It's not just, you know, some of it we just pick here and there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. All scripture is, and he put it together as one unit. He didn't even say all scriptures are. Say all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I've got a lesson this room today is going to be about the lessons from the story of King Asa of Judah. So that's what we're going to do. So we preach on different things. You know, we preach on so many different things here. We speak on so many different things. So this may be a little different, but it's good. We need to learn from the things that happened in this man's story. So that's, we're going to be looking at lessons from the story of Asa. Asa was king of Judah. Now, in case you're wondering where Asa fit into the genealogy of the kings of Israel and Judah, well, Asa was on the Judah side of the house. Remember, you know, after Solomon, the kingdom split. You know, so there was David, then Solomon, then Rehoboam, and they split there. Okay, so Rehoboam, you know, in the line of the kings of Judah, for the most part, the kings of Judah were okay, for the most part. But the kings of Israel, they were, for the most part, wicked. Now, David and Solomon, followed by Rehoboam, and followed by Abijah, and then Asa. In case you're wondering, who is this Asa? And Asa begat Jehoshaphat. So I'm sure more people know Jehoshaphat, probably more than Asa. So that's the lineage. First David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, and Jehoshaphat. So you see how it goes. And then further down the line comes Hezekiah. So, you know, these people, you know, all of these stories that we've read, they are all the children of, I mean, the lineage of David. So today we're looking at Asa. You know, so Asa, we're going to pick up his story here from the book of Second Chronicles, the three chapters I want to look at. And I will read quite a bit of it to bring out some points. There's also some portion of his story in 1 Kings 15. But I'm not reading I may read just one part from 1 Kings 15, but I'm going to concentrate on the portion of it that is written in the Chronicles. So that's where we're going to read from. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And I pray that you pay attention. I always say engage God in the Spirit. Pay attention, because that's a lot to be learned from this man's story. Now, as you see, he was king of Judah. You know, so it was the third king of Judah, but the fifth from David. So let's go to 2 Chronicles, and we're going to start in chapter 14. Chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, I'm going to start from the very first verse. I'll read as much of it and as much of chapter 15 as well, and then some of chapter 16. There's three chapters there and a lot to cover. I'm going to go through it quickly as the Lord will enable us here. Now, this is 2 Chronicles. There's two books of Chronicles. There's one, 1 Chronicles, and then 2 Chronicles. So we're going to 2 Chronicles. So Abijah, who was the father of Asa, slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. So as we go through this, I'm going to be calling out some of these things in this lesson. The first 10 years of Asa's life, the land was quiet. There was no problem. Quiet here means they didn't have any wars, because they were always fighting wars in those days. People were always coming against them, Egypt, Syria, this and that, you know, and so forth. So they had 10 years of quietness in the land. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now, one of the real benefits of reading the stories of some of these kings and even the prophets that were in the Bible, you know, kings of prophets, kings and prophets, I did a study about this some years ago. There's always something that God will bring out about them, especially kings. He would say that, well, this one did, you know, right in the eyes of this, you know, his God. He walked in the ways of his God. His heart was perfect, or some of them did right, but their heart was not perfect. I mean, there was always these lessons that they would bring up. Well, let's see what he has to say about Asa here. Well, in the beginning, he said, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Why? Because he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he break down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Glory to God. Now, isn't that wonderful if you have a leader that will actually set a good example and command the people to fear the Lord their God? We need something like that in this nation. You know, unfortunately, you know, our leaders in the nation today, I don't know what they are doing, but they are not following the ways of the Lord. They are putting in God's face all wickedness. Now, this is what they glorify, you know, even in the White House. They glorify things that are contrary to the word of God, even contrary to nature. You know, so it'll be good for our president and the leaders of this nation to serve the Lord with all their heart. Now they think they're doing good, you know, they actually do. But no, you know, you go against the word of the Lord, you turn your back against the Lord, that's not a good thing. You know, God has blessed this nation. This nation was founded on the principles of the Bible. But today, you know, I don't know what, first it was LGBTQ and X and KZY. I don't know what it's going to be next. And, you know, God loves those people. And we love those people too. But that's contrary to the law of nature. And it's also contrary to the word of God. And this country must repent from the top to the bottom. You know, so I'm going to put that one out there. But this man, King Asa, you know, he commanded his people to serve the Lord. He cut down all the groves and all the things that were against the Lord, you know, and so on. And he also built cities, fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war those years, for the Lord had given him rest. Now, that's a beautiful thing. You know, the Lord can give you rest. Yours may not be physical wars that these people had to fight, but it may be troubles. You know, some people have troubles. Their life is a life of chaos. You know, one thing after the other, you know, it's like you earn money to put in a bag of holes. There's one problem after the other. But the Lord can also give you quietness from all those things. You just enjoy quietness. You don't have any problems. Your children are, you know, good. There's no evil around you. You know, your family, nobody is sick. You know, everything's going well. I mean, you're just good. The Lord has just given you quietness. There's peace in your marriage. There's peace in your life. There's your job, your business, if you're an entrepreneur or whatever you are. Everything's just going good. That is the Lord giving you rest. That's what it means. Because the Bible says there remaineth a rest for the people of God. You know, so it is from time to time we need to enter into that rest. And Jesus himself said it, Matthew 11 and 28. He said, look, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. I mean, you labor. I mean, some people labor and they work really hard. And it's good. It's a good thing to work hard. As a matter of fact, you know, Lamentation 3 and 27 says that it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. So when you're young, work really hard. It's good to do that because the days are coming that you can't work as hard. Some people work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, whatever, you know, but, and that's good. It's good for you to work hard. But the most important thing is for the Lord to give you rest. The Lord can give you rest. He can take a little and make it go, you know, a mile or more. And he can take whatever little you have and stretch it for you so that he can give you rest. Sometimes people can have a lot. And the Lord will blow upon it. The Lord said, yeah, you know, you gathered the Lord, but I did blow upon you and it came to nothing. Now, we want it to be the reverse. We want you to have a little and trust the Lord and let it increase and the Lord give you rest. So the Lord gave this man rest. And during the time that the Lord gave him rest in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 14, he said, look, he said unto Judah, these are all his subjects at the time. He was king. Let us build these cities and make about them walls, towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Why? Because we have sought the Lord our God. And there's so many secrets in the lesson of this man. Because we have sought the Lord our God and we have sought him, he said it twice. And he has given us rest on every side. So let us build. And so they built and they prospered. Now, so there is nothing wrong with building and prospering. As long as you seek the Lord first. Even during this season that we are in now. I mean, all over the world, people call it the Christmas season. Oh, that's okay. I'm not bashing that. Because at least it gives an opportunity for everyone to recognize that Christ came into this world. Now, Many people don't know what they are celebrating at this time. It's just about going shopping, buying things and sending and all that. That's all we do now. You know, hardly anybody thinks about Christ, actually. And to make sure that they don't even think about Christ during this season, the devil allowed a lot of commercialism to take over. And when they spell Christmas, they even take out Christ and put X there. You know, so that, and no believer should ever spell Christmas with Xmas, as Xmas. You should never do it. Because that is the plan of the devil. Now, we know that Christmas did not originate as a Christian event. I know that. Many people don't know that. But nonetheless, today, when we celebrate it, it's about Christ. And it should be about Christ. And so don't spell it as Xmas. If you have any Xmas cards, throw them away. So don't use it. It's not Xmas. It's Christmas. And that Christ is, and you know, I love it when people say happy holidays and I say to them, Merry Christmas. Glory to God. Because they don't want to mention Christ. So they'll say happy holidays. Well, and I say Merry Christmas. You know? So, I mean, I love Christmas, the music and everything. It's a good time. It's a good time to praise the Lord. But here's what I want to bring up. When the angels came, you know, to announce the birth of Christ, well, they didn't exactly say, you know, they didn't exactly say that, you know, you shouldn't celebrate. You know, they didn't say exactly say that you shouldn't rejoice. No. They said you can rejoice, you can celebrate, but first of all, you must give glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward people on the earth. That's what the angels said when they came, you know, so. As long as we give first the glory to God, then giving goodwill towards all men, that's okay. You read that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now, people are doing the peace and the goodwill, which is, you know, goodwill is sending gifts and everybody is celebrating. That's okay. But they leave out the glory to God in the highest part. Now, because this is the season of Christmas, let me call that out now. Whatever you do this season, and it's okay for you to do, send gifts, receive gifts and all that, that's fine. The angels announce it. Peace and goodwill toward men, you know, just sending gifts, that's all fine. But first, you give glory to God in the highest. You must do that. And if you do that first, then the other is fine. But if you don't do that, then the other is not fine. So you'd give glory to God first. And then, you know, if you want to do peace and goodwill toward men, send gifts, receive gifts, that's okay. But give glory to God first. So these people, back to our story of Asa, that's what he said. He said, look, because we have sought the Lord our God, and the Lord has given us rest, then we are going to do these great things in his name. And so the Lord actually gave them great things, gave them the ability to build cities and to do all these things. And they began to build and they began to prosper. In those days, they built and they prospered. And the Lord was with them. You know, they said it. So they built and they prospered. And even Asa gathered himself sharpshooters, army, you know, people and all so forth around him and all that. And it was good at first. Now, here's something that happened. After the first time of peace, then something suddenly happened. There was war. Until the Prince of Peace establishes his heavenly kingdom here fully, physically on earth, until we come into that place where there is no more darkness and it's all light because the Lamb is the light of it. Until all of that is removed, there's always going to be peace and not so peaceful. It's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be this up and down and so forth. So you just can't have peace all the time. You will have peace. You have rest. you will have gladness. Well, actually, rest is what I meant to say. Peace you can have in the Lord. You can always have peace in the Lord. Because peace is not always the absence of trouble. That's how most people define peace. But the peace that Jesus gives, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. The peace that he gives is despite that trouble. Even in the midst of the trouble, even when you are in the eye of the storm, he gives, he'll give you his peace. But the rest is what I meant to say. Rest, sometimes you have rest, sometimes you have trouble. You know, even in physical things, you can't sleep all the time. You know, you got to sleep, you got to wake up and do these things. You know, so they, after a while, an army came up against them. You know, it came up against them, thousand. That's a million plus 300. That's 1.3 million people came up, you know, and Asa went out against them. And Asa's, you know, Asa's army was not that great compared to the people, you know, that he was going out against. Now, he had, you know, he had 300,000 out of Benjamin. And he had 280 out of, you know, from these people that were, you know, they were men of war, you know. So he had, I don't know if this was 280,000 on top of the 300,000, or maybe it was 280 of these 3,000, you know, were classified as this. But in any case, you know, his army were going against an army of 1,300,000 chariots that came against him. But Asa went out against him and set the battle in array. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Now, there's something that Asa is going to say here that you might recognize. That, you know, other people, you know, learned it from him and they said it. You know, Jehoshaphat said something similar. You know, even Ezekiah. Many years later, many generations later, said something similar. Anyway, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Glory to God. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against you. He prayed this kind of prayer. Jehoshaphat, you know, he also said, look, we have no mind to go up against this army, you know, but our eyes are upon you. I mean, these people, they learned it through their generations. Ezekiah came back later on and said, Lord, you are the God, the very God that sits in the midst of the cherubims. These people have destroyed the God of other nations, but because they were no God, but you are the God. Now, let not the heart, you know, say that, you know, where is their God? You know, deliver us, O God, that all the kingdoms of the world may know that there is a God and that you are the one that ruleth. You know, I mean, these people, they learned these things. It was in their blood, you know, to trust the Lord like this and to praise the name of God, not to depend upon the arm of strength, you know, arm of flesh, you know. They always trusted in the Lord. So Asa, you know, and Asa got the victory. He got the victory. And the Lord put the fear upon all those people. They got the victory. They smote their cattle, carried away their sheep, did all of these things, and carried all these things in abundance to Jerusalem. So everything was working great for Asa. Now, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Now, let's turn to the next chapter. Glory to God. So, in the next chapter, there was a man called Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And this man was a prophet. The Lord be with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So he warned them. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. Notice, they had been without the true God. And there was no teaching priest. There was no law. There was no man that brought the word of God. You know, there was no teaching priest. Many times they were just in darkness. They went out whoring after other gods. They were doing all kinds of things. And there was, they were without the true God. There was no teaching priest and so forth. You know, but every time they were in trouble, they turned unto the Lord God of Israel and they sought him and he was found of them. And this is typically the way the unbelievers live today. This is how unbelievers believe in God. You know, they call upon God in their trouble. Oh God, save me from this and that. That's how they pray. And when their trouble is over, then they go on about their business. Forget about the Lord until the next trouble comes along. This is the way Israel was living in those days. You know, they had forsaken the Lord their God. There was nobody teaching the word of God. And they were just doing whatever they wanted. But anytime they had a problem, they cry unto the Lord. The Lord, out of his mercy, would help them. You know, but listen to what he said. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, you know, because they were not serving the Lord. There was great vexations upon all the inhabitants of all these countries. You know, so it is a good thing to serve the Lord for our own good, that it may be well with us. This is what the book of Deuteronomy commands, that look, keep all these things, that it may be well with you. Now, there was always fighting among the nations. Nation was destroyed of nation. The city was destroyed of city. There was vexation from God, you know, with all kinds of adversity, because these people did not serve the Lord. So this prophet, he told them all these things, and he said, look, be ye therefore strong, and let your hands not be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, when you serve the Lord, your work shall be rewarded. Did not God say that, you know, will you not serve the Lord in vain? Yeah, absolutely. So when Asa heard these words, now take notice of how Asa reacted to this prophecy. And this, you know, because we're going to see another reaction later to another. When Asa reacted to this prophecy of, you know, Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols, all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and all of, you know, all the places, the cities that are taken from Ephraim, and he renewed the altar of the Lord that had already been broken down. He renewed that altar. He put it in order, you know, and people began to seek the Lord again. He gathered all of them out of Judah and Benjamin and strangers and so forth that were there. He got them all out in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And, you know, he had favor even before the people. He led, you know, it was a good example. He had a good example and he was having favor before the people and so forth. And they all entered into a covenant. Listen to this. You know, verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 15. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God. You know, the God of their fathers with all their heart and their soul. And they made a covenant. They said, whosoever would not seek the Lord, the Lord God of Israel, he should be cut off, should put to death, both small and great. Wow. Now, isn't that a nation that turned to God? Asa did all of this in his days. He caused the whole nation to turn to God. And you're going to see what else he did too in a minute. You're going to see how great this man was initially. You know, and Judah rejoiced at this oath, you know, and they swore to seek the Lord with their whole heart. And the Lord was fond of them and he gave them rest again, you know. So every time people seek the Lord and do these things and turn their hearts 100% to the Lord would hear them and he would give them rest. Now that's a lesson for us today too. If you are in, you know, troubled, your life is a life of trouble. Your life is one that attracts chaos. And turn to the Lord with all your heart and I will give you rest, said the Lord. Come unto me, O ye that labor, now, burdened and a heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take upon you. Learn of me, he said. Take upon you my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, Matthew 11:28 began to tell them. Praise the Lord. So, he took away all of that and the Lord gave them. Now, listen to what he did to his own mother. Now, these are great lessons out of the life of Asa. So many people don't know that this is in the Bible. His mother was the queen mother. You know how they used to be in those days. You know, if his father was king, then his mother was queen. You know, and if the father died, then the mother remained as queen mother. You know, and so forth. Now this man, he looked at his mother Micah, who was king. He removed her from being queen. I mean, she was queen, sorry. She was queen mother, basically. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol. Glory to God. This man, he will not put up with his mother's nonsense. He said, you made an idol, you're out of there. He dethroned her as being queen mother. Now, this was, he took his idol, he took her idol down, he stamped it down, crushed it, and burnt it with the fire. Now, this man, Asa, I mean, the zeal of the Lord was upon him to clean house and to do good stuff. he wouldn't put up with any nonsense. You know, mother installed idol, said, no, that idol is coming out of there, and you will no longer be queen. Got her out of there. My goodness. Now, we need people that are on fire like that for the Lord. Now, this man was on fire for the Lord. Now, initially. And the Bible said that, look, he was perfect in all his days. And so on and so forth. So, you know, he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated. He himself had dedicated. He brought all this and then said, look at the last verse of 2 Chronicles 15. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. God just gave him rest for more than 20 years there, maybe 15 or something. Just gave him rest. Again, you know, rest. Glory to God. And he did great things. He cleaned house. God is idol worshiper mother even out of there. I'm not going to have an idol worshiper sit on the throne. We want the throne. We want God on the throne. Get rid of idols, stamp it down, punch it in the fire. Glory to God. So this man, I mean, he was something else. You know, and then let's go on to the next chapter. Now, in the 36th year, this was a year, next year, after that, after all that stuff, you know, of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah. You know, remember, the kingdom was split then. They had Judah, they had Israel, and they were all fighting against each other. They built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go, so they compassed, they hemmed Judah in, hemmed Asa in, and so forth. Now, let's begin to see how there was a change in direction for Asa here. And look at all the great things that we called out that he did. I mean, he called upon the Lord. The Lord helped him. I mean, he sought the Lord. The Lord blessed him, gave him rest. They built cities. He cleaned house. He got rid of the idols. He got rid of all kinds of things. In fact, let me read something else which is not reported here. I'm coming back to this 2 Chronicles 16, but let me just jump quickly to 1 Kings chapter 15 and just read something that the Lord allowed to be recorded about this man in the Bible that was not recorded in the way they put it in Chronicles. But let's see. 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's read verse 11. Again, this was Asa. He says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father David. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. You know, this part was not recorded in Chronicles. You know, and Micah, his mother, he removed from being queen. You know, that part was removed. I mean, was recorded also in Chronicles. But this, he got rid of the Sodomites. Got rid of all of them. And these were people that were lewd and following after homosexuality. Asa got rid of all of them. You know, so this part here was recorded in Kings. And I wanted to bring that out. You know, so he got rid of, he cleaned out land. He wouldn't put up with any of this nonsense. Well, we need a ruler in this country that would learn from this. Instead of glorifying homosexuality in the White House, you know, White House, this country was built upon the word of God. The people have, you know, forsaken the Lord. And it's unfortunate. You know, the handwriting is on that wall. And God, you have long suffering, hoping that this nation will repent. And those of you that live in this country, pray for this country all the time. Pray for our leaders. Maybe that God will touch their hearts. Maybe they will change. Let's pray that God will give us leaders that, you know, follow after the things of God and not those that will put iniquity in God's face to stare him down. I mean, it's like a stare down. People are giving God a stare down these days. They don't care about the Lord. They just do whatever, it's in their heart, that the devil put in their heart, put iniquity. And the Lord said, look, I will by no way means spare the guilty or the innocent. And those that hate me to my face said, I will deal with them. So let's pray for this nation, that this nation might repent of all of this evil that's in the land. So this man, he cleaned house. Everything he cleaned. So let's go back to the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Now, after all those great things that he did, something else happened. The king of Israel, just Israel, I mean, this was not even like Egypt and all these people that came up against him. So, this man, he took silver and gold and all the treasures of the house of the Lord. That was his first mistake. Remember, he had brought all those things, that his father had taken before. He brought them into the house of the Lord. He dedicated them. He did all these things and so on. Dedicated the vessels that his father dedicated. Dedicated his own things and so forth. In those days, the vessels of the ministry were supposed to be something that was sanctified and dedicated and not to be desecrated. But now, he's going to put his hands into the silver and the gold out of the treasure of the house of the Lord, and he's going to send it to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And he's going to say, look, there's a league between me and you, just like there was between my father and yours. Look, I've sent you silver and gold and so forth. Now break your league with the king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Now, this man, this time around, unfortunately, he's not putting his trust in the Lord. Now, there's a good thing about the way the Bible reports these stories. Bible puts it out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It just put it all out there. Just like the story of David. Everything he did, good and bad, it's all put out there. Everything they did, good and bad, the Bible puts it out there, so that we can learn from all these things. It doesn't sugarcoat anything or hide anything. When they are doing well and doing great, the Lord put it out there. When they did evil and their heart went away from the Lord, he put it out there as well. So in this case, this man, this great man that had done all these things, taking away the sodomites, dethroning his own mother, crushing her idol, doing all these things, commanding all Judah to serve the Lord, and who prospered and God gave him rest. A small Israel, remember, Israel was really part of the kingdom. They just divided into two. It was split, but small Israel came up against him, and now, instead of serving the Lord, instead of clinging to the Lord and asking for God's help, he sent to, Syria. Can you imagine? What was Syria's business? So, sent to them at Damascus and said, come and help me. Go against, break your league in these people, so that, they'll get away from me. Well, Ben-Hadad, he hearkened unto him, sent captains and armies against the children of Israel. And he smote Ijon and Dan and Abimeam, and all the cities of Naphtali. So he did that. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it, that he left off of building Ramah. He was building, against them to hem them in. So the work ceased. So the king took, King Asa, he took all of Judah and carried away their stones, Ramah and timber and all that. He got victory some way because he relied on the king of Syria, which were not even the people of God. He turned away from God to, somebody that was not even part of the kingdom of God to get help from them. Anyway, here's what happened. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, and here's another prophet that's going to come up to him. The first time, the first prophet told him, Oded, he told him that you serve the Lord, you cleave unto the Lord, and he will be good to you. But if you forsake him, you forsake him. And the word of the Lord entered into Asa's heart at that first time, and he did the right thing before the Lord. Now, this second time around, not so much. This time around, when Hanani the seer came to king of Judah, Asa, said, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord thy God. You know, therefore is the host of Syria, king of Syria, escaped out of the land. Now they were not able to win a complete victory like they did in the case of when they went against the Egyptians. In the case of the Egyptians, they won the complete history, complete victory. They carried away everything. In this case, the king of Syria actually escaped. He just stopped building what he was building against them to hem them in, but he left. So they didn't get complete victory. So this man is telling him that, look, were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Because thou didst rely on the Lord thy God, did he not deliver them into your hand at that time? So this man is reminding him. Now, remember, and it's a good thing to always remember what the Lord had done. This was David's secret. The Lord who delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of this hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. You know, this was his secret. I mean, always remembering the great things that the Lord had done. This man, Asa, for some reason, he forgot that. You know, because it was his own brethren, kind of, that came up against him. Now he went up and started seeking for external help instead of trusting in the Lord. Now, Hanani told him, said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Many people know this scripture. To show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Hearing thou hast done foolishly, told him, called out the king. From thenceforth, you will no longer have rest. You are going to have wars. Now, Asa, unfortunately, this was his downfall right here. All those great things. Now, these are lessons from the story of Asa, folks. All those great things that he did, that we've been rejoicing, how he cut down all the groves, got rid of all the sodomites, dethroned even his queen mother that was an idolater, an idol worshiper, and all these things, commanded Israel after they had to follow the Lord. In this place, he feared the word of the Lord the first time. In this place, he did not fear the word of the Lord. He did not. He was wrath with his ear, and he went and put him in prison. How dare you tell me these things? my goodness. You know, how dare you speak to me like this? It was not rage. You know, and then Asa began to oppress the people. I mean, that was something, you know. Now, just from him not obeying the word of the Lord, an evil spirit came upon him. He didn't even know it. An evil spirit came upon him. Now, this was a man that was great before the people. The people loved him, commanded the people to do great things. They flourished, they prospered, they did everything. Now, he turned his heart against the word of the Lord because the word of the Lord rebuked him. And remember, we read at the beginning, 2 Timothy 3:16. I read this at the very beginning of this room today. The word of God is profitable for all things, even for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Now, this man didn't want any reproof and rebuke at this time. Maybe because he had gotten so big. You know, he built cities, he has prospered in his prosperity. He forgot the Lord. And God began to call it out. So he put this man in prison. My goodness. Instead of fearing and repenting and say, Lord, I am sorry. You did this at first. I should have turned to you. I am sorry. I am sorry, Lord. Should have repented. I put ash, you know, ashes on his head and wear sackcloth and go softly. He did not. He took the seer and threw him into prison. And then, of course, an evil spirit came upon him. He began to oppress his own people. And all the acts of Asa, and first and the last, they are written in the book of the Kings, some of which we read. Now, in the 39th year of his reign, so 3 years later, this man got sick in his feet, and his disease was exceeding great. Yet, during that sickness, he sought not to the Lord. You can see how he began to deteriorate. You know, this was the man that started out by always seeking the Lord and doing the great things of God. Now, he couldn't care less about turning to the Lord, even through the word of the man of God that brought the word. He threw him into prison. He started oppressing his people. Now he became sick. And in his sickness, he did not turn unto the Lord, but he turned unto the physicians. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to the physicians, but the Lord wants you to turn to the Lord first. We always put God first. Now, these days, people don't put God first. Anytime we have any problem, we seek these physicians first. Well, this is a lesson that we are learning here. And all these great things that this man did, and the end of it, even though the Bible still says that, you know, the summary of this man's story was that, you know, his heart was right before the Lord. Well, I believe he was the seed of God. And I believe that God, in his mercy, and because of the sure mercies of David, his father, you know, I believe that God had mercy upon him. And I'm sure that, you know, he was in the books, you know, for, you know, the good seed. I believe that. But the stories that we are reading towards the latter end of his life here, they are not as good as the one he started out with. So what is the lesson that we are learning here today? The lesson that we are learning here today is that he that keepeth my works unto the end, the same shall be blessed of the Lord and shall be saved. Jesus said, look, he that be endured to the end, it's not him that starts the race. You start the race out well, and you do this and that, and then maybe because of prosperity, you know, this thing got into his heart. He's now become a big king. He will no longer listen to some small prophets. I mean, how dare you tell me these things? I'll do whatever I want. I'm the king of Judah. And I'm going to throw you in a prison. Well, that's your big mistake right there. You know, you should repent when the word of the Lord comes. Now, that's a lesson to all of us today. When you hear the word of the Lord, how do you take it? The word of God is, you know, I mean, some people say, oh, prophecy is for comfort, for exhortation, for this and that, you know. No, sometimes prophecy is for, you know, correction, for reproof, and for rebuke. And sometimes, you know, the eyes of the Lord, you know, I am one person that believes that God, you know, now that we are in the New Testament, he's merciful to his people. And he loves us, and he will not bring evil upon us. But I tell you what, there's only so far that you can go. God's not. If you go up against the word of the Lord, the Lord said, look, you know, people say, well, you know, God doesn't do that. Well, I tell you, God can do anything he wants. And then some, you know, he said to, you know, when he was telling John to write to the churches in Asia Minor in those days, you know, he said, look, concerning, there were places where people said, oh, Jesus can't do that. But Jesus said, look, I will cast her into a bed of affliction. Glory to God. In Revelation 2, verse 22, he said, look, I will cast her into a bed of affliction. You know, I will cast those who commit adultery. I will kill her children with death. You say, Jesus can't do that? Well, you tell him yourself what he can or cannot do. Our God is a consuming fire. You better fear from the Lord. Fear before him. Now, for the most part, yeah, the Lord is, you know, I mean, kind and loving. I mean, he said it himself. We read it the other day. When the Lord presented himself to Moses, and he declared the name of the Lord, the first part of his declaration was, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, abundant in mercy and so forth, showing thousands mercy to thousands and all that. That's the first part. But he also said, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting their iniquities upon them and to generations and so forth. So if we receive the goodness of God, then we don't have to receive his severity. But if you turn away the rebuke of the Lord, especially when the Lord is trying to correct, you may have to deal with the eyes of fire. And Jesus, when the eyes of fire were here, you know, he spoke to this church in Thyatira. He said, look, you know, because she will not repent, you know, Jezebel and all these things that are there, I will kill her children with death. He said, Jesus said that? Absolutely. Revelation 2 and 23. You know, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches will know that I am he that searcheth the reins of the heart. Now, generally, we teach that the Lord is a God of goodness and kindness and mercy and showing mercy to thousands and all that. And that's what God wants us to have. His mercy, his graciousness, so I will have compassion on who I will have compassion, mercy to whom I will give mercy. deal with that, receive his mercy, and you don't have to deal with his severity. You know, so, but we have, you know, God is a God of righteousness. And he wants us, and if we don't deal with it, one of these days, those eyes of fire will light up. And when those eyes of fire light up, then that voice comes out like thunders. Glory to God. He's not messing around at that time. He said, I will cast her into a bed of affliction. I will kill her children with death. You know, so you better be careful now, because our God is a consuming fire. You know, so people forget that, you know, when they started getting rest from the Lord, you know, no, don't ever forget that. Asa forgot, but we should never forget that. Hebrews 12 and 29 tells us our God is a consuming fire. He can be if he wants to be. Most of the time, you know, it's the God that gives us peace and rest. You know, it's the God that said, look, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. You know, don't worry about anything. I got you. It's the God that says that. But I tell you what, you go up against his word, and when those eyes of fire come out, you better be careful now. Because God, he said, you know, because we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. So, those are our lessons from the story of Asa. And what have we learned today? Well, one of the things we've learned is, number one, you know, God can give us rest. He can give you rest on all sides, you know, so you don't have to kill yourself working 3, 4, 5 jobs. God can give you rest. But if he gives you the grace to do that, you should, you know, do whatever you can. But I encourage everybody to also listen to our teaching called In Season and Out of Season. I believe there is a replay on it right here on this app. If you go through replays under my profile, look for that one. It's a good one. You know, to know that God can, you know, bless us beyond, you know, the natural reward that we get from our jobs. In season blessing is you work 2 weeks, you get a paycheck. That's in season. I mean, you work 1 week, you get a paycheck. Whatever it is that the agreement is with your employer, that's an in season blessing. You work, you get paid. That's in season. Out of season is when you don't even have anything. You can't make ends meet, but yet God blesses you. Glory to God. Gives you rest on every side. He gave this Asa rest. And he did incredible good things for the Lord. Cleaned house, got rid of the sodomites, cleaned out, got rid of his own mother who was, an idol worshiper, dethroned her from the throne, crushed his idol, her idol, you know, crushed it, burnt it in the fire, cast down all the high places where they were worshiping, you know, other gods, Baal and everything, knocked everything down. It was doing great. But one day pride entered into his heart. He did not submit. This is the sin of pride. It's a horrible sin, folks. He did not submit himself to the word of the Lord. Did you all know that Lucifer was the cherub that covereth at first? He was endowed with music and with beauty and everything like that. You know, and he was vice regent. He was so close to the throne of God. But one day pride entered into his heart, you know, and he sealed his own doom forever. You know, so now for the sons of men, thanks be unto God that we have a redeemer. When pride enters into our heart, Jesus paid the price and paid the way back already. Not for Satan, not for his angels. Those ones are doomed. There's no repentance. There's no redemption. They're doomed forever. But for the sons of men, Jesus came and paid the price. Now, if at any time pride ever entered into your heart and you heard the word of the Lord, it doesn't matter. You know, or you reject the word of God. This man had power to throw the prophet in prison. And he did. Well, you may not have that kind of power. Your power may be the choice to either tremble at his word or not. And if you don't tremble at his word, you have basically done the same thing. You know, so, you know, let us learn from these lessons today. And at the end of his days, even though he did all those great things at the beginning, it didn't end very well. You know, he started going down the wrong path. You know, he took from the house of the Lord, used that to try to secure help for himself from people who are not part of the kingdom. The prophet rebuked him, threw him in the slammer, and he started to oppress his people, and so on and so on. I mean, they were just, I mean, one thing after the other, once his heart went in the wrong direction. You know, so we must tremble at the word of God. Isaiah 66 and verse 2 says, "For all these things that my hand made," you know, well, let me read from verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things that my hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord, but this is the man, or woman, to whom I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." This is the thing. The Esau, at the end of his days, did not tremble at the word of God, unfortunately, like he did the first time around. So, that's our lesson for today. And I thought it good, well, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me as well, to share this with us today. You know, that we will not shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. We will declare unto you powerful lessons that, you know, give you the strength to go forward and trust in the power of the Lord. And all these things we've, you know, diversity of things we've been taught in this room. But we'll also call out these things, these subtle things, like the spirit of pride that can enter into somebody's heart when they would disregard the word of God and completely, you know, and once you do that, it's a slippery slope. Start going from one thing to the other, an oppressing spirit came upon him, started to oppress his own people, and one thing led to another. By the time he got sick, he couldn't even remember to call upon the name of the Lord. He was only seeking to physicians. He completely forgot about God. God could have healed him if he would have repented. Now, why is it that people do not repent, you know, when they hear, you know, the word of God that brings correction? I don't understand it. You know, it will be better, you know, if people repented and just humbled themselves before the Lord. Now, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, there is a story here about Ahab. And you all know how wicked this Ahab was. Ahab was, I mean, he was wicked and twice wicked because his wife, you know, stared him on to do even more evil. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord more than any of the kings of Israel were told. I mean, this man was evil. He did abominably. Now, listen to this. Now, 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. "But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up." You know? "And he did very abominably in following idols." You know, you remember one time he had 450 prophets of the group and another 400 prophets whom Elijah destroyed, you know, at the showdown Mount Carmel. "He did abominably in following idols, according to all the things of the Amorites and also for which the Lord had cast out." And God, you know, God sent Elijah to this man. Listen to this. Verse 20. "Ahab said unto Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? He said, I have found you, because you sold yourself to walk evil in the sight of the Lord. I will bring evil upon you. I will take away thy prosperity. I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall." That's all the men. "I will him that is shut up and left. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, you know, and all that. The house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, and the provocation which you provoked me to anger, and all these things. And even the Jezebel, of Jezebel your wife, the dogs shall, eat her by the wall of Jezreel. And he just pronounced evil against her, and so on and so forth. Why? Because this man, he took somebody's vineyard, Naboth, and all that. You can read that story. He took the vineyard of Naboth, and so on. He killed the man, took possession, because his wife told him to do that. And the Lord pronounced all this evil against him. And Elijah showed up and told him. And the Bible says in verse 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard all these words. This was a wicked king. That he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh. And fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. When he heard all the judgment that was coming against him. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite by saying, wow, have you seen how this Ahab humbled himself before me? The Lord said to Elijah, because he had humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. Evil is coming, but I'm going to give him a little respite. I will not bring the evil in the days, but in the days of his sons will I bring this evil upon his house. Like, he's not going to escape it, but God will, push it out a little bit. Just because he trembled at the word of the Lord. And this was a man of great evil. Sometimes people hear the word of the Lord. I don't know what they do. They just harden their hearts or choose to not repent. There's a story in 1 Kings 13, which you might know very well. The young prophet that the Lord told to, bring judgment against the altar, which he did. And all the things, great signs he did and so forth. And the Lord told him, don't turn aside, don't eat, don't do this, don't do that. Which he wouldn't do for initially when the king told him. But when an older prophet came to him and lied to him, he followed the old prophet home, which the Lord had told him not to do. And then the same prophet that deceived him brought the word of the Lord against him and said, because you have not obeyed the word of the Lord wherein I told you, don't stop, don't eat, don't do this, don't do that. Well, your carcass will fall by the wayside, and so forth. And this man, he did not fall down before the Lord and pray for mercy. He just took that judgment like that. And of course, it came to him. And I dare say, ladies and gentlemen, if that young prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13, they never told us his name. If after the word of judgment came upon me, he had fallen on his face and cried for mercy, God would have had mercy upon him every time. And people cry for mercy and walk softly before the Lord, God will have mercy upon them. But sometimes some people, when they hear the word of God, they just harden their hearts. Or others, they just ignore it. They don't tremble at the word. Others even say it doesn't matter. But those that hear the word of the Lord and tremble at his word, they will receive his mercy. So that's our lesson for today. There's lessons in the story of Asa, the king of Judah. For those of you who are late, Asa was the fifth generation from David. It was David and Solomon, then Rehoboam, then Abijah, then Asa. And after Asa was Jehoshaphat. So now you can see the relationship in all those stories that you've heard in the Bible. Asa was the third king of Judah, but the fifth from David. David and Solomon had the combined kingdom, and then it was split for Judah and Israel. So that's who Asa was, and that's his story. Well, my prayer for us today is that as we, two things. One, it's not him that starts the race that is rewarded. You got to finish the race strong, just like you started. You know, it's better for somebody to have even started badly and ended up well, than to start well and then end up badly. That's not a good thing. But if you can start well and still end up well, that's the best. So those of you who are already on the path of righteousness, remember to always tremble before the Lord. tremble at his word. You know, so now, if we turn away from our evil when we hear the word of the Lord, you know, yeah, you don't have to be worshiping idols. You don't have to be doing all these evil things, but whatever it is that we are doing that is not pleasing to God, when the Lord brings correction, and that is the time when we must turn our hearts back. And yes, a lot of us are actually worshiping idols. We just don't know it. Anything that we put ahead of the Lord is an idol. It's an idol. If you put your job ahead of the Lord, that's an idol. You put your children ahead of the Lord, you put your spouse, you put your business, you put even your whatever. You might be desiring to get married. You might be doing this and that. Any of those things, even the good things that come from God himself. If we put those things ahead of the Lord, that's an idol. Even the things that offer. Whereas God said, I will give you myself as your great exceeding reward. You turn around and say, well, I don't have a child. Abraham did. And God said, well, I'll give you that child, but you have to bring that child to the altar. Because you put that child ahead of the Lord. The Lord wants to give you himself. You know, so, but Abraham did right. You know, he corrected himself and obeyed and brought that child to the altar anyhow. And the Lord gave him a tremendous blessing. You know, so here's the word of the Lord, and I'll close with this. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, let me just read a few verses there. Concerning, you know, it's not just that we must start well, but we've got to keep on his works until the end. Glory to God. So here's what the Lord said to, I think I'm looking for maybe, what verse am I looking for there? Perhaps verse 19 and so on. I'm looking for verse 9. That's the one I'm looking for. Jeremiah 18 and verse 9. I found it. So in Jeremiah 18 and verse 9, here's what the Lord said. Actually, let me read it a little earlier. This was the story of where Jeremiah went to the house of the potter, and he was doing pottery and all that. You've read that before. Verse 7. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Listen to that. Now, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation or a kingdom to build it up and to plant it, and that goes for individuals as well. When the great things are happening in your life, you know, and so forth. If that person do evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will also repent of the good which I thought to do with them. So it goes both ways, you know. So if you seek the Lord and you tremble at his word, he'll be gracious and merciful unto you. If you reject the word of the Lord, and you know, Bible says, well, the Lord will show himself froward to them that are froward. So we don't want that part of the Lord. What we should do is obey his word from the beginning and continue to obey his word. Never get to that point where we think, oh, you know, we now become angry because somebody brings correction. You know, and one thing will lead to another. You know, once you reject the word of the Lord like that, once a person rejects the word of the Lord like that, then they start going down a very slippery slope. Father, I pray over everyone that's in the room today, listening now, those that have come and gone, those that may come and listen later, that we take from these lessons that we have read today and use them as instruction in righteousness. You said that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Those of us who have started, Lord, to follow you, we have left one thing or the other, and we have chosen to cleave to the Lord. Help us, Lord, that we may cleave unto you till the end. Not just, you know, fall by the wayside along the way. We started the journey with you, Lord. Help us every step of the way. Keep your works to the end. And help us every time we hear the word of the Lord to tremble at your word. I pray in the name of Jesus for every one of us that the word of God will not in the last day be a judgment against us, you know, but that we should serve the Lord and walk before him humbly all our lives. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee? But for you to fear the Lord, walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and all your days. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you and we give you the praise and we give you the glory, Lord, for everyone that's in this room today and the lessons that we have learned here today from this man. May we, this man Asa, may we learn from this. Hear another scripture in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. And every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. I pray that the Lord will bless everyone that's in the room today. That will inspire the word of God into your hearts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments and walk humbly before him. That's all that the Lord requires of us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. For the Lord has shown thee, O man, what is that good thing that the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So we should never let iniquity, the iniquity of pride get into our hearts, to make our hearts to turn away from fearing the word of the Lord. God bless everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. That's our lesson today. This is Pastor Yaro, and I will now invite you to come and give your reaction to this lesson. As many of you as are here that have something to share with us on the lesson you've heard today, please indicate by raising your hand. And I will bring you to the stage to share with us. God bless everyone. Good morning.